This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On and hit in the air to left. It's deep. Going back is Simpson to the track at the wall. He is out of room. It's gone. And an opposite field home run for Kyle Schwarber. That's number 12 on the season. He had a huge homestand and starts the road trip on the right foot as well, giving the Phillies a 1-0 lead.
Well, there it was last night in Tampa, George Steinbrenner Field. Kyle Schwarber goes deep for the Phillies. Phillies defeat the Tampa Bay Rays. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show alongside Hugh Douglas. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Philly. Hey, listen, let me take this time out real quick to say something because I felt this in my spirit this morning. I was riding into work, right? And you know how you just notice different things when you're riding
sure.
in, Tom? So I'm riding in and I'm noticing that there's a lot of people that, like, drink those big old cups of coffee, like, riding into work. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if they're the type of people, they're probably in a position of power, you know, talking to their employees and everything. And I was like, I wonder if they have a toothbrush and some toothpaste with them. Because there's a lot of times, I have friends that work in offices, and I remember having a conversation with them the other day, and they were talking about how their boss's breath stinks because they're close talkers and they drink all this coffee. So my message this morning is, if you're that person that drinks a lot of coffee in the morning and you have to be a close talker, make sure you brush your teeth because nobody wants to smell your stinky breath.
Yeah, if you're a
like,
big,
seriously.
If you're a big-time coffee drinker, you got to
brush your teeth. Have some breath mist because your breath stinks.
You're
talking to people and your breath stinks. And this is, and I felt it was important to say it in this show segment because we're in the midday. And a lot of people that listen to us are in the midday, and they are in their offices, and their boss is probably talking to them with that stanky breath, and they can't say anything. So I felt compelled to say something because, you know, they ain't going to say nothing to me.
Oh, I think it's a lovely message.
So brush your teeth.
At work?
Brush your teeth at work. Bring some toothpaste. If you like to drink a lot of coffee, your breath stinks. You need to brush your teeth.
And make
like
sure,
at work.
And make sure you're not a close talker.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna be a close talker, at least put a mint in your mouth or something, because your breath probably stinks.
What is the requisite amount of feet that you think need to be between somebody and somebody else if you're drinking coffee?
Well, you know what the funny thing about it? If you're a heavy coffee drinker, your breath probably emotes like even further away
right.
than people would. Like, you probably don't even have to be close. It's probably one of those things where people just kind of get a whiff.
8 feet.
And it's like, damn, your breath is like, yeah, you gotta, but you just have to be conscious of that, man.
Okay.
I mean, I'm, you know, you just have to be conscious of
it. I think it's a good message to send out to people, especially this time
compelled.
Of the day.
Yeah, everybody's on their way to work, and I was like, damn, it's a lot of people drinking those, I'm talking about those big things of coffee. So yeah, brush your teeth.
Yeah, a lot of people need to watch themselves when they're drinking the coffee. Make sure you're clear of other people and be considerate.
Yeah, be considerate. Your breath's probably on fire.
Exactly. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, alongside Hugh Douglas. You want to get in the start show, 215-592-9494. Big win for the Phillies last night. Phillies beat the Rays in Tampa, 8-4. By the way, how cool was that watching that game in that ballpark?
It was an intimate ballpark. It really, really was. It was funny, because I'm watching that game, TK, before it got out of hand. And I could hear the people in the, like, selling popcorn and peanuts. And I was like, wow, that's something in a ballpark you never really get a chance to hear. Somebody's yelling out, get your popcorn here or get your peanuts
or
whatever.
The beer guy?
Yeah, heard the beer guy. And I was like, wow, that's different. And it seemed like everybody was right on top of the field. And I think it was like Kyle Schwarber's at first at bat. He hit somebody in the other dugout because they were so close. The dugout was so close. So I thought that was pretty cool. A little dangerous, but pretty cool. No. And he apologized, and then he hit a home run.
There you go.
That was
perfect.
Pretty cool.
It was a cool environment last night. As the Phillies win, they beat the Rays 8-4. Zach Wheeler, really good, gave up one home run. Other than that, was tremendous. The offense, they did their job. They were able to score a lot of runs. Nick Castellanos, the big blow, a three-run homer to really put the game out of reach. And the bullpen did their job after Wheeler went out. And here we sit with the Phillies, Hugh, and they've won 7 of their last 9. They seem to have stabilized after what was a bad week a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They're 20-15, 2 games back of the Mets. And here's where I am with the Phillies at this point. I think we've been too hard on them to start the year. I think when we look at this team, when we look at where they are, I mean, they're not in a bad spot. You're 20-15. You're 2 games out of the division race. This is a good baseball team. I think they've shown that at this point, at least. Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at the Phillies, our expectations in some ways have been unrealistic. I think they've been too high. I think we've been too difficult on them for what has been, honestly, a pretty good start here. And I think we kind of overreacted to a bad series. Series in New York, that was ugly. They got swept by the Mets. They didn't look good. But overall, I think we've been hard on the Phillies, too hard on the Phillies. Where do you fall on that?
No, not too hard. I mean, this is baseball, man. We pay a ton of money. Well, the people that pay a ton of money to go to the games, you're allowed to feel the way that you feel. And let's be honest, most fans, they don't really know how, and this is no disrespect, but they don't know how this thing works. They look at the fact that, you know, you have these owners and individuals that have a ton of money, and they have the power to go out and get the players to make this team better. They're rooting for guys who, in their minds, all they're doing is playing a game. You know, some fans understand it, but most fans really don't get it. And they're not supposed to. I don't expect them to, because they look at it like, you know, they work a hard 9-to-5 job. And your job as a professional athlete is to go out there and play a sport. And that's just the reality of it. So when fans look at that and they look at the money that you're making and you're in a slump or, you know, all this other stuff that's going, they ain't trying to hear all that. So I don't think that the fans are off base for feeling the way that they feel about guys going out there doing what they're doing.
Fair enough. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you do so. Have we been too hard on the Phillies start the year? And I think we have. And here's exactly why I think that way, Hugh. I mean, we look at what happened last season, and I think the Phillies started very similarly. They were 8-8 through 16 games. Mm-hmm. We know how it ended, but they did start 45-20. They really haven't started great any of the last few years, even the years they had some postseason success. And I think the reason why we're too hard on them is I think there's a carryover effect from last year in the postseason.
No question.
And I understand that. Like, yeah. I feel that to a degree, too. We're all fans, and it's impossible to watch this team with a lot of the same players and not to think back at that to a degree. But at some point, I think if we're going to truly move past it and we're going to really fairly evaluate this team, I don't think we can allow what happened at the end of last year to color every opinion this year. And I feel like that's what's happened a lot.
Oh, no, it's definitely happening. And to get people to try to understand that, I think it's kind of tough because we go as the team goes. And last year, going into that season, I can remember vividly how this team, their mantra was, you know, we're trying to make it to the World Series. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. We're trying to get off to a good start. And to their credit, they did mostly everything that they set out to do except win the World Series. And then the way that they went out in the postseason gave us all pause. It was like this team. And you know what the unfortunate thing is as fans, we saw it. We just didn't want to believe it because we saw it in the Mets series when they were overseas and we saw them starting to lose a bit of momentum. And as the season progressed, we just kind of let it go. So fans saw how they ended the season, and they were disappointed. So now coming into this season, they started it with a little trepidation. They were not as boisterous and loud about what they wanted to accomplish this year as they were last year. So we look at that and the fact that they didn't make any moves, and we're feeling some kind of way about that. So I don't have a problem with the way the fans are feeling right now. I really don't.
Yeah, and if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, we've been too hard on the Phillies to start the year, and I think we have, and a big part of it is I think this team, they deserve to be viewed separately. I think criticism for poor play is fair, but I'll acknowledge, even myself, that we've overreacted a little bit. In the end, they've had one really bad series this year. The Mets series was ugly. They got swept in New York, and obviously, that brings back the memories from last year even more, because that's obviously the team you lost to. But aside from that series, they've been a really good team. I think they're getting better. The bullpen, I'm not totally sold on the bullpen. I feel a heck of a lot better about it than I did a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
The offense is kind of coming around. Bryce Harper is getting hotter, and this is the thing. They're 20-15 through 35 games. Bryce Harper hasn't really even been getting going yet. I mean, you would imagine, and this is the time that he typically does get hot. Last year, his numbers around this time were pretty much identical. He had a big May and a big June, and that led to him being the starting first baseman in the All-Star game. And I look at this team, and I just feel like we can't just view everything through the lens of last year, because I think it's not fair to exactly the way they're playing.
Oh, life isn't fair, Tom. Oh, Tom. Life is not fair. It's never going to be that way. I think a lot of fans, when they look at this, they're mostly invested, and they don't want to have their heart broken. That's basically what it is. They do not want to have their heart broken. They don't feel like, you know, dealing with the same heartaches that they had last year with this offense being as anemic as it is in the postseason. So that's basically what we're dealing with. This is a road we've been down before, and it doesn't help when you have the players that are out there, and they're not as sure about what they want to do. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit of everything. So as far as the fans go, hey, man, feel the way you feel. Because it's on the guys that are out there playing to make you feel differently.
Yeah, and that's what this team's fighting. I think they are fighting more of an uphill battle because of what happened last year, and they're not getting the same benefit of the doubt. But you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Do you think we've been too hard on the Phillies to start
too
this
hard.
Year?
How much money
before we go to the phones, Kyle Quinn producing the show today. Hey. What do you think, Kyle? I'm sure you're a guy who thinks we've been too hard on the Phillies.
Look, I took the pledge at the beginning of the season. I don't know if you're aware of what
the accountability pledge.
We took the pledge.
Well, no, Hugh didn't take it seriously.
I took it seriously.
Hugh said it, just kind of went through the motions, did not take it seriously. So as a guy that took the pledge, I think it's totally okay if people want to be reactionary, be hard on the Phillies when they go through the hot streaks and the cold streaks, stuff like that. Like, that's fine. Do I necessarily agree with some of the sentiment that I'm hearing about, like, I think a lot of people think that the Phillies right now are just sort of a middling team, more like
going
the team.
Going through the motions?
What?
Going through the motions?
The Phillies?
I mean, middling going through the motions.
No, well, okay, sure. I just, like, so I guess there's two sides to this. Like, there's the people who think that they could be more like the team we saw at the beginning of last year, and then there's more of what we saw in September and in the postseason. Like, this is just who they are. It's who they've been at the end of every season. I see a lot more of the team that we saw at the beginning of last year, at least, than I do the team that we saw at the end of last year. Like, I think the Phillies have gotten to a point where they're underrated by some fans. Like, they're a damn good baseball team. They are 20-15 without really the team as a whole playing their best baseball. And now some areas of the team, you could say they're like, you don't expect them to play much better. Like the bullpen, they probably need a little bit of help. We do have the trade deadline for that. But I think the point you made, Tom, was the best one, that the Phillies are 20-15 right now without Bryce Harper, their best player and one of the best players in baseball at his peak when he's really going, playing to his capability. So, like, I think there's a lot more reason to be excited about this team and feel good about them getting better as the season goes on than I think the people who just think that they are more like the team at the end of last year should readjust what they think about the team a little bit.
I look at it like this. Do you feel that it's safe to say that as good as this team is and the trajectory that they've been on in the last couple of years, they've fallen short? Is that a safe assessment?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
And I think that's where people are a little bit upset because, to Kyle's point, we've been down this road before, especially when you talk about last year and you talk about the goals that you set for yourself in order to get to the World Series. And the way it ended is what people remember, because you went out with a whimper. Like, you went out to a team that you handled in Europe, and then they just beat the brakes off of you. They were just a better team.
But I think at some point, do we have to stop looking at last year and evaluating everything? Because this is a different season than last year.
I understand
it's a different
that.
Team.
And I get that, but it's the same cast of characters. You set out, like, this is where I think fans are coming from. When I first got here, and I'm just going from when I got here. You know, you have the owner talking about opening up the coffers, no money is too much money. I'm spending, like, what do you say, Jermaine Dupri, money ain't a thing. I'm going to spend money, and we're gonna get the players that we need, and all of a sudden.
John Middleton and Jermaine Dupri, one and the same.
So we have the season that we had last year, and it was just like it was the year we played Arizona. The bats went cold. So now you have a an off season where one of the biggest names out there, I get the money, but this is where I think the fans are kind of upset because you the one that said money didn't make no difference. Money ain't a thing, and you didn't even make a play for Juan Soto. So now, and you try to trade Alec Bohm, and that doesn't work. And then you run it back. Yeah. You run it right back.
I guess, like, the Phillies can't right the wrongs of the last few Octobers right now in May.
Oh, I can't believe you up here being Major
League
buddies.
What I'm saying is, like, they can't go out
See,
and...
this is what he ain't take the pledge for real. I took
yes,
the pledge.
Yes, I can't I get out of here. I'm saying the Phillies can't win the World Series right now. So, like,
I know that.
There's a sentiment out there, it's like, wake me up in October. Like, all right, well, then what do you want us to do? Like, we can't just fast forward to October. It's May. Like, this is the Phillies team we have right now.
Right, you can watch with your arms folded and wait to and look at the calendar.
But that's a wimpy way to watch you.
I'm not watching it.
I'm just envisioning Hugh sitting at home on his couch with his arms folded, a grouchy look on his face. What are they going to do in October?
I am a man of the people.
I am
doing this for the people.
Grump.
And this is what I. This is how
grouchy
I feel.
Grouchy Hugh today.
This is how I feel the fans feel. That's just, I'm just trying to channel the Phillies fan.
And I don't think you're wrong. You're not wrong at all. I felt that way at some point, too. I'm just at the point where, hey, we're in May at this stage.
Major League buddies.
I think we got to move beyond it. I think we got to move beyond last year.
Know what happened?
Judge this team fairly on what they're doing this season, too.
See, now y'all about to make me the drunk uncle at the barbecue. Y'all feeling good because we had
one of my favorite Hughes, by the way.
Offensive explosion last night, correct? Alec Bohm hit a home run.
No.
In a minor league ballpark.
No, hold on.
Hey, but that minor league ballpark was
cool.
But
they played pretty well the majority of the season. They had a bad stretch for a week.
I'm not saying they didn't, but it's funny to me, and I would wonder how Joe would act when he was here. He'd probably be the same way. It's real funny to me that all of a sudden they go to a small park and they hit the ball all
it's
around the place.
It's not about last night.
It's still a major league.
It's not about last night?
It's not. No, it's one game. Like, they've been playing well. They won seven of the last nine games.
You cannot convince me that it's not about last night. Well, you and Joe both live in the moment when it comes to this team.
It's off the heels of last night, but they're like they're in their hottest stretch of the season right now.
Major League buddies.
They beat the Cubs in a series. They beat the Diamondbacks in a series.
I'm not saying they're not hot.
But that's part of it. Like,
the sentiment changes. Like, they play in a bandbox. They play a little ass.
I think you're focusing too much on the last night.
I'm just keeping it a beam.
Well, just so you know, Hugh, that Alec Bohm home run would have gone out in 7 out of 30 ballparks in Major League Baseball. So how about that?
You know what's funny about that, TK? Because you looked that up. You looked that up.
I saw somebody tweet it out.
Yeah,
I didn't even look it up.
Yep.
I just saw somebody tweet it out. I don't even know if it's correct, but I'm going to run with it.
You know what's funny? Because people were wondering, is it because it's a small park? Or is it because it was a good hit?
No,
I mean, I'm not saying
that's
it
only
wasn't.
You with your negativity
no,
looking
at it.
I'm not
being negative.
Like
I'm just keeping it a bean.
I just wonder for fans who are sort of where Hugh's at or where, you know, where a lot of people are at, like, can the Phillies show you anything during the regular season to convince you that things will be different in October? Or are you just like, wake me up in October?
Right. And if you want to get in on that as well, you're welcome to. I just, like, I cannot watch the entire season like that, just thinking about, who cares? Whatever they do now, it doesn't matter. I think we all know that they're going to have to come through in the postseason. But what they do in the regular season matters. Like,
oh, no, it does.
Last year
I agree with that.
Was not just about them having a bad week. I mean, they were pretty much a 500 team in the second half of last year. So
yeah.
I think the way you play in the regular season sets the habit, sets the tone for what you're going to do down
the road. I will agree with that. But here's the thing that I think of. Like, say, if I played baseball, which I never did, but, you know, I'm a professional athlete. Say, going into the season, say we, in the playoffs, we lose like we did. The next year, even though you know that's a long way away, everything that you do from the beginning of the season until you finally get to that point is like Jalen says, keep the main thing and maintain your focus as best you possibly can. That's what this team needs to do.
Well, yeah, and Hugh, it's funny because, and I know you weren't on the 2003 team, but in those years that you were in Philadelphia, there was a similar feel about those Eagles teams.
Yeah.
Is continuing to go back to the championship game, and that was kind of the way they were viewed.
And I can tell you to a man that's the way we felt.
Uh-huh.
Going into the season, the first time that we lost, I remember thinking, okay, it was our first time there. You learn from your mistakes, and then you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
The second time we did it, it was like, damn, what the – you know, what the deuce? What can we do to make this better? Because it's frustrating. Because you check all the boxes. So now going into that next season, that's the first. That's all you're thinking about. That is all you're thinking about. But you know that the only way you can get to this point is you got to go through this gambit. You got to run this whole gambit of the season to get to that point, and you have to be on top of your game. And to your point, I see that they're playing better, but to ask this fan base, in my opinion, to believe in you after they've seen everything that's happened in the postseason, I just think that's too much to ask for. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, I hear you. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, have you been too hard on the Phillies start this year? And to Kyle's point, is there anything that they can do during the regular season to make you believe in this team short of what happened last year? Because I just think as we look at this team, and if we're going to evaluate them fairly, I think we need to evaluate them on what they're doing now, not what they did last year. Let's get started on the phones with Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day!
What's up, Chris? You all right? You
sound like it hurt, man.
You know, it's part of the hump day, you know?
Yeah, it is the hump day. I got you.
Clever.
Hugh, I can't agree with you more on some of this stuff here. Let's start with brush your damn teeth, people. Just start with brush your damn teeth, all right? And then there ain't no reason to ever be close talking. I know some folks. And when you're talking to someone and they keep stepping away from you, there's a reason.
They don't get it. Like, and I think that, and because, like I said, I am doing this for everybody's at their cubicle right now that can't tell their boss this. Bosses, if your coworkers are backing up from you while you're talking, your breath stinks. You need to go do something about that.
When your employees are giving you toothbrushes for Christmas, you know, as a present,
that's,
like,
it's probably a little bit too much.
You're talking about passive aggressive. Like, that is passive aggressive to the most extreme degree possible.
Don't do that, y'all. That might get you fired. That might get you fired.
But you, I kind of like petty, so that's.
Oh yeah, that's my wheelhouse.
What do you got with the Chris Phils?
Yeah, let me understand something here, Hugh. Hugh, are you saying that the Philadelphia fan base is a little emotional at times and kind of like a roller coaster?
Yes.
I can't imagine that's what you're saying here today.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm okay. Like, first and foremost, I'm okay with it because you've earned that right to be that emotional fan, especially when it comes to baseball, man. It's one of those sports that you live and die every day with every pitch. So I get that.
You know what's killing me? What's killing me about this whole thing, though, Hugh, is as you were talking, then Kyle chimes in, and I thought Kyle was going to, you know, be there. But you know what I heard from Kyle? I heard Kyle say a lot of things, but you know what I heard? I heard that Kyle picked up your book you wrote, and now he's the company man for the Phillies.
Is that what it is? Kyle's the company man now?
I'm okay with that.
You keep your mouth down and shut, boy.
See, TK and I, we're both two very level-headed individuals. See, we never overreact. You know,
exactly.
We're locked right in here. We know that we're 20-15, and Bryce started the season cold, and our home run derby representation from last year finally just hit his first home run. So we're locked in. We're not emotional. We're not like crazy people like Cinnamon Ken that called in and said Kepler's a bust. We're not like that. You know, Kyle Schwarber usually starts low, and then he gets hot in June. So we're waiting on that, and we're, you know, even though he started hot, we know the more is to come. We know Bryce usually starts slow. So, guys, if you look at this schedule through May, if you're riding the high of the roller coaster, just continue to enjoy it because the schedule's pretty light, and there's a good possibility that come the end of May going into June, we're going to be 12 games above 500. Joe Giglio is going to start running topics to you people out there that are going to implode on the YouTube because he's going to start saying, oh, no, maybe this is the greatest Phillies team we ever saw.
Chris, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
That was me.
Yeah. When you look at the team, though, I mean, that's a part of it we haven't really talked about as well. I mean, the starting pitching, this starting staff is incredible. I mean, I would agree that it was curious in the offseason to go out, you trade for a starting pitcher. That was not your problem in the postseason. But this team, they're going to obliterate the bad teams in baseball because, I mean, bad lineups can't hit this pitching staff. They're in good shape.
I hear you, but I think for a lot of fans, you know, this was a good team last year, and they had the most wins in Major League Baseball last year. But the outcome wasn't what we wanted it to be. So for a lot of fans, with that emotional investment that football, I mean, excuse me, that baseball brings, I can understand them not wanting to go all in right away. They want to see, especially when you get to the middling of the season. That's when I think that people are really going to start locking in and being more emotional, because they're going to see how they're going to respond. Because even as a player, you know where the slump started. You know where the slump started. And you want to do your damnedest to make sure you try to stay as consistent as you possibly can.
Yeah, and I think the way they've responded to the adversity of the Mets series has been positive, and I think we've been too hard on the Phillies. Hugh does not. Would love to get your take. 215-592-9494. When we get back, we'll start Hugh's clues again coming up, plus some audio from Dave Dombrowski yesterday on how he views this team compared to last season. That's all coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
3-1 pitch, and it swung on, hit well. Right field corner, going back on it is Jankowski, and that one is gone. Opposite field, Alec Bohm, first homer of the season. Finally for Alec Bohm, it's a two-run shot, and it's a 3-0 Phillies lead.
Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show. Scott Fransky the call. Last night, as Alec Bohm goes deep. First home run of the year for Alec Bohm. This hour on 94 WIP is fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. What was your reaction last night, Hugh, when the drought ended, Alec Bohm went deep for the first time?
No, I was happy for him. I was happy for him. But, you know, when you wake up in the morning and, you know, you're getting ready for work, You turn on television and you hear all the other pundits talking about it. That was one of the first things they pointed out, the fact that it was in a small ballpark. And to your point, I just thought it was funny because you pointed out that in any about seven other ballparks, he could have made that. I don't look at it in that jaded fashion, but I just thought it was ironic how other people did. You know, if you're a professional team, you're playing against a professional team. And it's not all the dimensions and all the ballparks are not the same. So I didn't have a problem with it, but there were some people talking about putting an asterisk beside the win, and I'm like, hey, you know.
A what?
Asterisk. Forget you, Kyle, about that.
Asterisk. And the ambiguities.
Asterisk.
You
know, well, it's that we don't need it. It was a legit home run.
You know what? While we're here, since we're here, you know, Tucson is not Tucson, it's Tuscan. Tucson, when people say Tucson, because, you know, I was riding and I saw that this morning, too. T-U-S-C-O-N. That's Tuscan.
Isn't Tuscan
Tucson.
C-A-N?
No, that's Tuscan.
No,
it's C-O-N.
The city is pronounced Tucson.
Yeah. No, but that's Tuscan.
No. And if you're talking, they're two different things.
No, but it's I'm talking about the card, the spelling.
Oh.
It's Tuscan. No, it's Tuscan.
Well, is it named after the city?
No, but I'm saying the car. Like, I saw the car this morning. It was T-U-S.
Whatever.
C-O-N. That's Tuscan.
I'm not fighting you on this one. You seem sometimes.
I think that's up to whoever named the
vehicle. No, but I'm just saying. They say Tucson, but I'm like, that's not Tucson. That's Tuscan. Asterisk.
Hugh seems very convinced on this one, Kyle. There are some things that I don't want to fight him on. I don't want to fight him.
Save yourself, dude.
Asterisk, right? I'm saying asterisk.
Asterisk.
Move on, buddy.
Asterisk. Right. Well, asterisk.
Anyway, we don't need it, Alec Bohm. Legit home run last night. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Have we been too hard on the Phillies to start the year? I think we have. Hugh thinks we haven't.
No, that's going to bother. That's going to bother.
That's going to bother you all day.
Because how do you say it, Kyle? Say it. Asterisk.
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 Anyway, so.
Asterisk.
I
can't say that.
To clarify something else, though, Tuscan is spelled SC. Tucson is CS.
Tuscan is SC.
Yeah, but I think the vehicle, if I'm not mistaken, is spelled with a CS, like the city, so that would be Tucson.
No, it's T-U-S-C-O-N.
I am so confused right now.
No, it's T-U-S-C-O-N.
No, the vehicle is T-U-C-S-O-N, wow. Which is Tucson, like the city.
That's Tucson then.
No, Tucson. Just Hugh.
That is Tucson.
Wave the white flag, buddy.
No, I'm saying that's Tucson.
It's not.
Kyle, I think you just got to give in on this one. He's right.
Let me see.
Hey, he's right on this one. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But obviously talking a lot about the Phils. Have we been too hard on them? And I think we have, and I think a lot of it does go back to what happened last year and the way we view this team and viewing them through that prism. Here was Dave Dombrowski on yesterday on the pregame show with Murph talking about how this team looks now compared to the way they looked last year at the end of the year.
Well, I think we're playing better. I think really the really bad series we had was the Mets series. We didn't play very well during that series. I'm not really sure why. They just looked like they were playing better than we were at that time. But then coming out of there and then going to Chicago, which is a tough place to play, and then going back at home, we've played a lot better during that time period. I think it's a combination of factors. We're scoring more runs. We've scored. Our starting pitching is back in a routine. Now, Ranger didn't have a good outing the other day. And our bullpen has actually pitched better, too. So we're starting to gel a little bit more. Some of our big guys, Trey, started to play very well. Max Kepler started to play better for us. You can see some of the guys, you know, getting a little bit better as time goes on. So, and Schwarbs just keeps on swinging the bat like crazy. But we're playing better baseball. We just now need to keep it up because, as you know, our league is a very, very tough league this year.
And that's the thing, Hugh. I really do like how the Phillies responded to what happened in New York, because that was obviously an ugly series.
Definitely
they
ugly.
Get swept. Makes us think back to last year. They lose the first game in Chicago, but to come back since then, win 7-9, win 3 straight series, you got to be encouraged at least by that response.
I mean, you are, and the guys that should be encouraged are the ones in the locker room.
Not the fans.
But the fan base, no, because we've been here before. And I think, like, this fan base is very emotional. Every baseball fan base is, and it's a roller coaster, emotional roller coaster ride every week. So I don't expect, and the players, I don't think the players should expect the fans to be all excited about what they're doing, because at the end of the day, it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. And we've seen with this team that for whatever reason, towards the end of the season, they tend to run out of gas. So that's the most important thing. This is an area that we're familiar with when it comes to the Phillies. They always, since I've been here, they've been a pretty decent team at the first half of the season. But after the All-Star game, that's when it seems like they start to leak oil a little bit.
And definitely last year, here was more from Dave Dombrowski talking about that and the Phillies needing to play their best at the right time.
To me, the answer is not the missing piece. The answer is playing well at the right time. And so when you say that, I've always felt you go out there with 4 good starting pitchers, right? Well, we have 4 good starting pitchers. You go out there with a good bullpen. Our bullpen didn't pitch well. It just didn't. I mean, that's the way it is. But I really thought going into the postseason that it's an incorrect judgment by me and by a lot of us that we thought our bullpen would pitch. That's what you're looking to do. We didn't score enough runs. We just did not. I mean, we scored runs in 1 game. We did not score runs in 3 games. And so you go back in the past years, there's some games we scored runs and there's other games we didn't. But you really have to play well at the right time.
And that's the one area where Dave Dombrowski, when he talks, that does, I disagree with it, and it does bother me a little bit, mm-hmm. because it wasn't just about that one series. That's why I think the regular season does matter so much, and why we can't just judge it through the prism of last year in the playoffs, because this was just not a very good team after the All-Star break last year. They were essentially a 500 team from the middle of July on. I remember we worked together during that Philly series when they played the Dodgers, and they swept the Dodgers at home, and after that point, I think they were 35-34 the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I think that's what people look at, man, because it was a tale of two teams at that point. You know, I go back to that Mets series, and the Mets started to, after we beat them, they started to gain momentum, and they went in the polar opposite direction than we went. And I think that's what people remember. You know, for me, baseball is steeped in a lot of history. So to ask this fan base not to remember the past, I think it's kind of hard to do, because everything about baseball is about the historic milestones. So when people see that and they see this team and how they tend to ebb and flow during the course of the season, the unfortunate thing for this squad is at the end of the season is when they start to lose momentum. And I think people realize that, and the players need to do everything in their power to not let that happen again, because that's what's happened basically in the last 2 seasons that you were in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's going to come down to what the Phillies do later, but I do think we need to view this team on their own merit, not just by what happened last year. 215-592-9494, if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ron in Monco. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Ron, what's going on?
Yo, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. What did you do to Kyle? What did you do to Kyle?
Every time I hear Ron say good morning or act like he's being pleasant, like I just know something else is coming.
Well, you know,
Ron's not a pleasant guy.
Yeah. You know, it's followed by Ron scorching for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, guys, you know how I feel about this team. And I'm just going to encapsulate who this team is and why I feel the way I do. Okay? And nobody's going to change my mind. And I can care less with Dombrowski.
We don't want to change your mind, Ron. We want you to be exactly who you are. Live your truth. Live your truth.
Okay. I'm going to take you back to the Arizona series, okay? And it's the – just follow this. It's the second game. They won the game. They won it substantially, okay? But I'm going to take you back to a section of this game. In baseball, the lineup is a unit, okay? And the unit, as a unit, their number one goal is to knock out the starting pitcher to get into the bullpen. Never so more than today in the MLB, okay? But that is always the goal of a lineup, is to knock the pitcher out. However way you got to do it. They had this guy as one of their better starters. This guy didn't look like much, but I'll tell you what, he pitched very well. But we got to him, and I think we got it within 1 to 2 innings. We were 3 up. We were up by 3. We had this guy. We had him. We got 2 men on, and we're with no outs, and we're at the top of the lineup. I don't know if it was second and third or first and third. We had this guy. This guy was getting ready to get knocked out of the game, okay? And that was the ultimate – that is the ultimate goal. And guess what? You're at the top of the lineup. The top of the lineup went out in about 10 pitches.
But Ron, you're going back a year and a half.
Yeah, that's
no.
If we're trying to judge this team fairly, we can't judge them by what happened in the Arizona series.
Tom, get on the same page. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the last series with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's my bad. I thought you were talking about the NLCS.
Oh.
No, this is why this team shows you, even when they're doing well, okay, they show you who they are. Okay, and it doesn't matter what portion of the game is. You know, Alvarado's doing great, okay, and he really looks good. And, I mean, he's gassing, okay, and he's hitting the corners. What's he going to look like in July and August?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's the point. You guys got to get the point.
But, Ron, we get the point, but why can't we evaluate them on what's going on now instead of saying, oh, they're going to stink in July and August?
I just did, Tom. I just gave you that.
He just gave it to you.
I just gave you what they're
listen,
doing right
it sounds
on the
like
same
you're
page.
Picking out certain points to fit your agenda, Ron. On the same page as us here.
Okay, listen, guys, I just gave you what they're doing right now and what they continue to do. They have done this. Listen, guys, this isn't, like you said, Tom, I'm going to give you a ding-ding for the day because you said it, finally said it. Last year, they were 500 from the middle of the season to the end of the season. They fell off the map, okay? And then what did they do? They limped right in. They got knocked right out. This
was
team,
last year.
Well, I'm giving you another example.
Get on the same page, Kyle.
They continually show you who they are. And you know, it's a shame because Philly hasn't had this much pitching in the last 2 years ever, really, in their history. And I'm including the Halladay and the Lee, and I'm including those years. We got pitching per the MLB. We got pitching. Mm. Now we got some – and our lineup, and Dombrowski didn't fix things.
No,
he didn't fix them? You have to talk to Milton about why.
I got you, Ron, and appreciate the call. The lineup has problems, but this is still a good team. They're 20-15. They've won 7-9. Mm-hmm. This is a time to be positive.
Oh no, it's not. I don't think anybody thinks that this isn't a good team. But if you ask them, is this a World Series team? Yep. That might be a different. That's a different conversation.
Yeah. Breaking news, fellas.
Breaking news.
94 WIP. Breaking news.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to get to it earlier, but you know, Ron was cooking a little bit.
Ron was cooking.
Yep. According to Jet McClain, Dallas Goedert expected to stay in Philadelphia. The Eagles and the tight end are close to agreeing to a reworked deal.
There we go.
Goddard's coming back.
That's great news. And I felt this whole offseason, I felt like the Eagles needed to bring Dallas Goedert back. You look at the players they lost, the guys on defense, I was okay with a lot of it because I feel like they didn't lose anybody that significantly hinders their chances of going back to winning a Super Bowl. Dallas Goedert, Hugh, I think that would have been a huge loss. You look at the guys they signed in the offseason, Kylan Granson, Harrison Bryant. These aren't top tight ends. Grant Calcaterra, we know what he is. Dallas Goedert, when he's on the field, is a top five tight end in football. I'm extremely happy the Eagles were able to get this.
Shout out to Jeff McClain for breaking this story. You know me and Jeff are friends now.
Good. Positive development.
Hugh called him dry. On the show?
He called me out. He told me. I went on his podcast. We cool now. We're
nice. Buried the hatchet.
But no, this sounds like they're negotiating this contract. He doesn't want to go anywhere. That was what this was always was about. It was about money. And the Eagles probably tried to make some moves that made sense for them. None of them made sense. So this is the recourse. They have to resign Goedert. Hopefully, well, for him, probably at a lesser number. It's going to be interesting to see how it's going to play out when these numbers come out, because usually they extend it. I'm assuming, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that they're going to tack some years on the back end, and they're probably going to bring his cap number down, and he's probably going to get that and sign a bonus. So it's like it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and I think once it got to this point in the offseason, like you said, it really was in the best interest of both sides to just get something done.
Yeah.
The Eagles at this stage, you don't want to lose Dallas Goedert. And I think it was kind of a tell when they didn't draft a tight end high.
They probably wanted one.
Right.
Didn't fall the way that they thought it was going to fall.
Yeah, and this might have forced their hand a little bit. And for Dallas Goedert, I mean, at this point, even if he gets released, even if he gets traded, he's not getting a long-term deal anywhere else at this point in the offseason. So why not come back, be a place where you're comfortable, and make this work for another year? Kyle, what do you think about Dallas Goedert returning?
I've been itching to get Dallas Goedert back on this team. Like, it just felt like there was no reason for them to let him go at this point. And they didn't really do much in the offseason to make me feel better about letting him go. Like, they didn't bring in a replacement like Goedert was for Zach Ertz when they were about to let Zach Ertz go. So, like, it just didn't seem necessary for me or to me for the Eagles to create a hole at that spot. Like, they didn't need to do it. And I don't know if the Eagles have been doing this necessarily, prioritizing going back-to-back, but I still want them to go back-to-back. And I think the Eagles need as much firepower on offense as possible because I'm not expecting the defense to be number one again. Not sure I'm expecting Saquon to have 2,000 yards again. So I think they need as many weapons in the passing offense as possible. So I'm very happy Dallas Goedert's coming back.
Yeah, I think this is a huge development. When you look at Dallas Goedert from a pass-catching perspective, in the playoffs last year, that was the best we've seen him play. Like, he was huge in the postseason last year. That Green Bay game, the touchdown that he had, made some big catches
that
in the Rams
game.
Yeah, the New Orleans game early in the year basically won them that game. But want to get your reaction. Dallas Goedert expected to be back. Jeff McClain reporting likely to restructure a contract with the Eagles in return. We all think this is great for the team moving forward and would love to get your reaction. Dallas Goedert, it felt like all offseason was probably going to go. The longer this went on, more likely he stayed. But officially, it seems coming back. Great news. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Now it's time to play a little Hughes Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hughes Clues. Hughes Clues and you.
This is everybody's favorite time of the day, TK.
I love Hughes Clues.
Everybody loves Hughes Clues.
I had such a smile on my face when I looked at our show sheet today. I saw Hughes Clues down on there. I love when I get to participate in
this. You know what? This is the first clue.
We're listening to you.
You ready?
Run it here.
Y'all ready for the first clue? They breathe the same air that we do.
They breathe the same air that...
I'm kidding.
Well, I was about to say.
You're going to have a lot of angry YouTubers.
I was about to retract all the nice things I said about Hughes Clues.
I just wanted to trigger the you people. I like triggering the you people. They got something smart to say about me every day. So I just wanted to trigger the you people.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, I'm here for you. Hey, okay. So, okay, all jokes aside, this is the first clue. This individual was at the Met Gala. Now, for all y'all complaining, We did a lot of talking about the Met Gala yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to see how well y'all was paying attention. They were at the Met Gala.
They were at the Met Gala. Yes. There you go. Have you ever been to the Met Gala?
No, I'm trying to go.
Man, I feel like you could throw out a nice outfit there.
You know what's funny? I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and she was telling me that I don't have to be, what was it, Kyle? I have to be like an influencer or something like that, like an iconic influencer.
You need cultural clout.
Clout
was what it was. Yeah.
She told me that I could also be invited by one of the major sponsors, like one of the major, like Louis Vuitton or somebody like that, because they buy a huge table and they can invite me.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't wear a whole lot of Louis Vuitton or nothing like that. I don't wear a whole lot of designer stuff. But I'm thinking that if I make a push this year to get my designer game up, then maybe I'll get invited by one of these major designers.
Oh, I think
so. I need to figure out like who is a major sponsor that sponsors a table at the Met, and I need to try to get in on that. Like Jack Daniels or somebody.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jack Daniels kind of like, you know, does like a Met sponsor.
Who wouldn't want to sponsor you going to the Met Gala?
Well, no, if they buy a table, they can invite me. Like,
right.
If, like, say if Jack Daniels or somebody that, or like Tasty Cake. If Tasty Cake buys a table to the Met Gala, I can go.
He was messy, though. Like, do you want to be attached?
I think that should be the midday show crusade for the next year.
Wait a minute. How am I messy? What did I do?
You can't be serious, right?
Okay. Well, I mean, I haven't done anything lately. Well, in the last, what, 10 years? 10, 15?
10 years. Well, I mean.
10, 15 years?
Hold on.
I ain't done
nothing. You were pressuring Joel Embiid to find the snitch and beat him up this year.
I mean, he was pressuring people to find the snitch.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be the grown-up here. You're in your 50s.
You know, I mean, that don't mean I'm grown. But since we're here again, if the Sixers need a PR guy,
no.
I mean, this would be a great time to sign me. I could come right in and hit the ground running when the season starts.
Yeah, well, they seem to need some good PR.
They need some good PR, yeah. Man. They need to do something. They need to hire me.
You're
they
a
need to put
person.
Me on the staff.
Yeah, you know how to talk to people.
I could help out with all that PR that y'all doing.
I think that would
and
be great.
And when Daryl Morey gets out there and he starts talking about AI, not Allen Iverson, artificial, like, hold up, dog, what you doing? Like, you killing yourself. They already want you out of here. Like, I could talk to him. He needs somebody to talk to him like that sometimes.
We need
He got too many yes men in office. He needs somebody that's going to keep it a beam with him. I need to be that guy.
You can double as a radio host and a PR guy.
I told
at the
him
same
I can't
do it all.
From 10 to 2, I'm busy. But after 2 o'clock, I'm all yours.
Well, there you go.
Like I said, Kyle, I've been about 10, 15 years ago. I am a changed man.
They should pursue you for sure. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. You can react on the phone lines with us to the news of Dallas Goedert likely come back. Jeff McClain saying they're working on a deal. Dallas Goedert and the Eagles
Garofalo
to return next
just
season.
Reported it too. So
what's that?
Mike Garofalo just also reported it. So
okay, yep. Mike Garofalo as well. So multiple reports now. The Dallas Goedert and the Eagles working on a deal to come back next year. Also, have we been too hard on the Phillies? Devin Caney will join us next. We'll get her take on all this coming up as well as your phone calls. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.